time.
It's time.
Time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl-winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former NFL scout Brian Broaddus. He is a Super Bowl winner. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And he is the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, which you can hear him this weekend ahead of the Cowboys and the Steelers. Brian Broaddus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Robert. Thank you very much. Steeler week. Always exciting to me because there's a great history between these two franchises. And a lot of heartache for us old Dallas Cowboy fans. Like the guys and gals that grew up in the 70s, this was a nemesis. This was a big nemesis in those days.
No doubt about it. You know, we were talking about it a little bit on 105 Through the Fan this morning. This is the team the Cowboys first played. Their first game in franchise history was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Heartbreaking loss to North Texas high school football legend Bobby Lane, who used to play with Doak Walker over at Highland Park, went to the University of Texas. Their very first victory in franchise history was against the Steelers at the Cotton Bowl in 61. And then, of course, all these different games that have occurred over the years, these big Super Bowl games, the most common Super Bowl matchup in history. No teams have ever played each other three times in this one. And my favorite note, Brian, Drew Pearson, almost a Pittsburgh Steeler, if not for a Cowboys scout who paid him his $150 signing bonus in cash right there. Yeah. Drew Pearson said, you give me it in cash, I'll sign right now. Otherwise, I'm going with the $1,500 signing bonus with the Steelers. But a lot of great history, and I'm sure you as a Cowboys fan growing up, you've talked before about having season tickets. This was this had to be right up there as the most hated franchise for you in the National Football League.
Yeah, the Washington franchise was very hated in the 70s for me. They had outstanding players, much like the Steeler franchises of the 70s had outstanding players. That was always the common thread. With the Cowboys, we always had the better roster when we were playing other teams. But then we'd match up against these Pittsburgh Steelers, and it wouldn't always be the case. That was a very troublesome matchup. And the most amazing thing to me, and I know guys that are scouts with the Steelers and have been scouts forever with them, they had three head coaches since 1969.
Yeah, basically your whole lifetime they've made two hires.
Think about being a scout and, you know, you're talking about like, well, we're worried about this scheme and worried about that, and every time you change coaches, you have to look at players a different way. You might have 3-4 coaches. You might have 4-3 coaches. You might have, you know, run and shoot. You might have West Coast. You might have whatever, you know, your offensive scheme was. And the Steelers, those scouts, since 1969, have only had to deal with three head coaches since. That would be too good to be true. If you're trying to, like, every year you would go to a school and you would kind of know the type of player you had to go get.
Yeah. That is why, to your point there, that's why Jerry has a lot in recent years always harped on continuity at the end of years. Is that, hey, we trust in this. We believe in it. We're moving forward. This will be a big game for the Cowboys coming up on Sunday night. I know we've both gotten a chance to kind of take a look at what this Steelers team is all about. You want to start with the offensive or defensive side of the ball?
Robert, you take this any direction you want to go.
Let's, you know what, because there's been so many questions about the Cowboys on defense, let's go ahead and start with the offensive side of the ball. Brian, when you got a chance to watch Pittsburgh play a little bit, let's lead off with Justin Fields. Your thoughts on how he can hurt you? Obviously, running is part of it, but what do you think of him as a passer, how he's fitting into this Arthur Smith scheme, and how he's progressing, how this Pittsburgh offense is running with him at the helm?
Cowboy fans are going to be thinking they're looking at their offense when they watch the Steelers play.
Arthur Smith loves running the ball, man.
He loves running the ball. He's a volume runner. They haven't had great success running the ball. When you look at yards per carry, they're also in a situation where they might not be playing the best back. Very similar to the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And Najee Harris is a nice player, but he might not necessarily be the best back that the Steelers have. And, you know, when they've dealt with Jalen Warren has been a little hurt. Cordell Patterson, he's looks like to me he's not a real running back, but when you hand him the ball, like real running back things kind of happen with him. Their offensive line has been beat up. They've lost starters. They've had to mix match some guys, at certain spots. They're hoping that they get one of their guys back this week, and Suomalo, if he comes back.
We'll which looks that. Likely. Looks pretty likely right now.
Looks likely he'll come back because Mason McCormick was not any good against the Colts last week. You know, so they're a team that when they try and run the football, I don't see a lot of sustain. But I also see, and you asked me the question about the quarterback. Now, this is what I think is going to happen in this Dallas game. He's watched enough tape of what's happened to Dallas and dealing with Lamar Jackson. Nobody, take that back. Two teams in the league have more designed quarterback runs. One team has more designed runs than what the Steelers have. That's the Ravens. You're going to get quarterback run. You're going to get designed quarterback run. What Fields has probably looked at, and he beats himself up about this because when you watch this tape, and I know you've seen this, mm-hmm. He hands the ball inside to Harris. He hands the ball inside to Harris. He doesn't pull the ball. Huge play. Huge play for the defense getting a stop. It could be a huge play if he would pull the ball and run.
Yeah.
Gut feeling is he is going to pull the ball in this football game. He is going to pull it and run it. And he is going to make you defend the edges, Golston and others. You know, when you Nealon, you know, we'll see. Henry, anybody that gets the opportunity to play edge. Dallas did a much better job of defending that last week. It was maybe a crash end and a mm-hmm. fill or wide and a fill. They did a much better job of handling not being out of position. This guy's going to test you that way, but he's going to pull the ball, I have a feeling, in this game and try and run.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We always hear about unstoppable force meets a movable object. This Steelers running game versus the Cowboys run defense is more like stoppable force versus movable object. And you just wonder, like, well, who's actually going to do it this week? Because you're right. There are things about Fields that are I really like some of the progression that I've seen on some of the stuff in Pittsburgh compared to Chicago. It's still not perfect. The release is so long, I feel like. Oh, yeah. And it's such a odd motion when you see him. It's like, how does he even get the ball there? But there are times, like, if you just talk about him as a passer, there are times where you see, oh, there's arm talent. Like, he's go like, oh, man, he's really good. Just like, you know, he can put some real zip on the ball at times. And I'll tell you where I'm most concerned about him as a passer after watching some of the tape on this, Brian, is when he's able to extend a play a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then he's able to square up his shoulders, he will fire that thing. And he will find Pickens or Austin or whoever in the middle of the field just kind of standing all alone because the play is broken down. But he'll also get himself into trouble extending those plays a little bit. The offensive line has not always helped him out in terms of pass protection, but then he, you know, makes things worse on himself sometimes. He'll turn a 5-yard sack into an 18-yard sack, or he'll turn something that shouldn't have been a sack at all trying to extend, and he'll kind of end up in somebody's arms a little bit. But I think there is some that there's something about what we've seen from Fields throwing the ball this year that gives you a little bit of pause and makes you say, okay, like, you can't just be worried about Fields running the ball potentially. And not that you were saying that, but like, hey, he can threaten you a little bit just kind of extending, squaring his shoulders up and making a play.
Yeah, Bobby, and I made a joke earlier about Dallas's offense, because this offense plays at the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a curl. It's a, you know, it's simple plays.
Yeah.
It's Freiemuth underneath. It's Pickens underneath. Austin underneath. You know, I mean, they're various things that they're trying to do to you. You know, with this offense, and they're trying to make it as easy as possible for their quarterback. You know, and if you believe in metrics, which I'm starting to understand even more every year, that if you play at the sticks or beyond the sticks, you know, there's ways to defend you. And Dallas, when they've got people to play at the sticks or beyond the sticks, have been one of the best defenses in the league for that. They find a way to defend you, to get you off the field that way. The problem is, the last several weeks, with the exception of really the Giants game, and I mean two of the last 4 weeks, they haven't gotten people in the situation where it's turned into throwing the ball. I mean, or excuse me, you know, making them throw the ball. You know, and I think that's where that Arthur Smith is going to look at the game plan, and he's going to go, damn, two of their losses were to teams that didn't throw the ball more than 20 times. But can the Steelers do to the Cowboys front what the Saints did? I don't know.
What the Ravens did?
I don't know. You know, see, that's what I'm saying. If they try and go volume run and you're sitting there making them, you know, play third and four, third and five all game, you know, because they're averaging only, you know, 3 yards a carry, then you're going to be in better shape. You're going to be in better shape. So I can say I totally agree with you about Fields. I do worry about the ball just going down the field to the side outside the numbers. I think that's something, some of his better throws. But you're right. If you don't stay with Pickens, they'll make you pay. I mean, he'll run around and find space. I don't know if he's a great separator, but I know one thing, that guy makes some circus-ass catches.
Oh, man, I look at Pickens, and one of the things that my thought was watching him on tape was, This is one of the better receivers against zone that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's a smart receiver who knows how to get to the spot and find those soft spots in the defense. Like you say, not a great separator, but especially against zone, you've just got to, a lot of times it's about being savvy and knowing where to go, you know, where to be and how to run precise routes. And so he and Fields clearly have a connection there. Like they're starting to, you're seeing it grow on tape each week, that they're getting a good feel for each other right there. I will say, after watching this, I was anticipating turning it on and saying, I'm picking Pittsburgh. And that's still maybe where I end up. But when I turned it on, my biggest takeaway, Brian, was, man, this is a bad week not to have Micah Parsons, because I think that left tackle, Dan Moore, I think Micah Parsons would have destroyed him. And that may have been enough for me to say I'm picking Dallas, because there's just – Dan Moore, there's some real leaks along that Pittsburgh offense line, and they've had to mix and match a little bit. They've had to do some different things. Yeah,
Zach Frazier, the center's a little bit of a liability, and I love Zach Frazier. I think he'll develop and get better, but when you start to talk about pressures and inside pressure and things like that, you know, Zach Frazier has been a little bit of a liability, you know? I mean, and then I mentioned Mason McCormick. When he had to play, had two rookies right next to each other. You know, that we're both having problems in the game.
Yeah. No, and I mean, like, they have, if you look at some of the, like, mix and matching that they've had to do with, like you mentioned, Mason McCormick, Spencer Anderson, they're trying to get Suamala back. In fact, this week it should be that left side, I would imagine, based on what we're seeing out of Pittsburgh, is it's going to be Dan Moore at left tackle and then Suamalu at left guard. And then they're going to move McCormick over to right guard, and with Daniels being lost for the season, which is a big loss for them. I thought Daniels had played pretty well. And then you've got Broderick Jones at right tackle, who Broderick Jones at times has had a little bit of struggle. And I will say, one of the things that kind of caught my attention a little bit on some of these, and again, Fields doesn't always make it easy on guys, the pass protection from the backs, Harris and Warren, is not always great either.
How about the tight ends? Have, you know, for a team that plays as much 13 personnel, three tight ends, one back, these tight ends don't get anything going in the running.
No. Mm-mm. And I mean, Washington, that was supposed to be his game. That was supposed to be Darnell Washington's game.
Mean, he's the best of a bad lot. But that was the whole thing I was looking at, was like, all right, Dallas gets in trouble when teams go 22 personnel, 21 personnel. You know, two backs, one tight end, or two backs, two tight end. When teams try and go big, Dallas has problems. But this team, when they get big, they're not as good.
Mm-hmm. You
know? So I don't know. It's maybe this is a get right game for the Steelers in all those regards, or maybe not. Maybe Dallas actually does have some defensive advantage here. There, I'll tell you what. I think the Steelers guards, centers, I think they're going to have a hard time blocking Dallas's linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see a lot of second level blocks. Mm-mm. Watching the games, the Atlanta game, the Charger game, the Colts game, I don't see a lot of second level blocks.
No, and that's why I think Pittsburgh is one of the least efficient running teams in the NFL. There's trying it. Arthur Smith's trying to make it happen, and I'm sure Arthur Smith's watching them on tape this week, Dallas, and going, man, there are definitely some things I can take advantage of. So I imagine they'll try some of that. But I do wonder if, with how adept Pickens seems to be in zone, you know, the connection that he's building with Justin Fields, how much Dallas has been playing a lot of zone. Yeah. I think they played the fourth highest rate of zone coverage in the NFL this year. Maybe you find that, hey, this threat of the run and some things that they're going to have to do to kind of fill up the box a little bit, maybe in the intermediate passing game and some of these zone coverages, we can have some success with Pickens. And so I don't know if Arthur Smith has that in him. I think he might be a little stubborn. It looks like a stubborn play caller at times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But overall, it's still there are definitely challenges, I think, that Pittsburgh's offense can present here. But Dallas, I think, does have some advantages, even with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons out for this game.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Brian, let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, TJ Watt is the big headliner here, but man, they're really good in the box overall. Their box defenders are really good players. And then those safeties, I'm sure there are some people who would make the argument that that's the best safety duo in the NFL right now, with the way Minkah Fitzpatrick and Deshaun Elliott, especially. Deshaun Elliott has really become a nice player there in the secondary for them, but maybe a little bit of vulnerability with these corners at times. The rookie, Beanie Bishop, has had some trouble. Dante Jackson has been picked on a little bit at times. Joey Porter Jr. has not had as good of a start to the season as he did last year. Overall, just kind of your thoughts of mode of attack and how we might be able to take advantage of some things against Pittsburgh.
Well, I think you nailed it right on the head there. You know, the inside part of the Steeler defense is, put it this way, this will be the third game against an AFC North team. What's the common thread been for all three so far? Good defensive line. You know, mm-hmm. Browns, Ravens, now the Steelers. I think the Steelers, probably of the groups you played, I would take the front seven of the Browns. Then I'd probably take the front seven of the Steelers here, what they've got. It is about Watt. But they're a little banged up there right now. You know, losing Highsmith is going to be a problem for them. Alex
Highsmith, he's a good player.
Really good player for them. And then, you know, and then Herbig from Wisconsin is kind of filling in, but he's dealing with an ankle injury right now. He plays opposite. Okay. If, you know, you look at this group where teams have had a little success, believe it or not, when you watch the tape, is running the ball at Watt or running the ball at Herbig. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pass rushers. They play wide and they rush the passer.
Yep.
When teams have like tried to mash on them, like big bodies, get big bodies on them and push and make them have to kind of fight that.
Yep.
teams have had a little success. Now, inside, Cam Hayward is a really good player.
Yeah.
And but he is going to be most of the time over Tyler Smith. So Cam Hayward, one of their best players, one of your best offensive linemen. So keep an eye on that one. That should be a really, really good matchup. But you look at Benton, he's a good player for them, number 95.
Yeah, Keanu Benton, that was the guy you liked.
Benton is a guy that can kind of – the thing that I like about the Steelers overall in their front, they extend and they get rid of blockers. Extend and get rid of. You see extend, swim, get to the ball. You know, where you know, that's kind of the way they're playing. It's going to be a physical front. It's going to be another physical game. I don't think Patrick Queen is playing all that well at linebacker.
I don't either. I think Patrick Queen is the most vulnerable second level defender they have.
I think Patrick Queen misses somebody in Baltimore telling him what he needs to do.
Is it a would it happen to be a certain high level all pro type of linebacker telling him what to do?
Sure.
Yeah.
See, that's I think there's some Patrick Queen, it sounds like LSU on LSU crime going on here right now. But Patrick Queen has I think there's a lot of guessing going on in Patrick Queen's game. I think there's some jumping gaps. I think there's some not really sure what I'm seeing. I'm jumping a gap. And when this team, when the Steelers have given up explosive plays, it's been jumping gaps, guessing, or just being too aggressive, gambling. You know, they've had some routes on the outside where they've given up plays, and then or maybe there's some alignment problems. Saw that on the goal line against the Colts. Queen is like looking at Porter like, wait a minute, that's your guy, not my guy. Why you, you know, well, why is your spacing so bad over here? You know? So I kind of feel like that this is not the 85 Bears. It's not the 2000 Ravens. It's not even the Steelers, the great steel curtain from the 70s here in Pittsburgh. You know, they've got good defensive players, but if they're going to play zone against you, and you can, and I always talk about blocking fronts. You find a way to block these edges and take your chances one on one. Smith versus against Cam Hayward, and you know now we'll see the weather, Bobby. You're about to travel into some thunderstorms all day.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. I discovered that today, so I'm not pumped about that.
Yeah, so you know the weather getting in won't be a problem. From 5 o'clock on, though, as that game's wearing on, there could be lightning delays and stuff. This could be a wonky game that way, that you get it started, and then there's a lightning delay, and then there's another lightning delay, and then there's, you know, this thing could go on for 2 days if we let it. But I just kind of feel like you're right about the safeties, the corners, especially in zone. And Terrell Austin is playing a lot of zone. Mm-hmm. And he's moving his guys around a little bit. He's moving Porter. There's been games where Porter and Jackson have played 50-50 on right and left, you know? And, you know, but the Steelers have got to go in this game thinking we got to shut down CeeDee Lamb. That's got to be their number one priority.
Man, you mentioned, first off, the zone aspect for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh does play a lot of zone. They play if it's not the highest, I think I saw the note that it's the second highest percentage of their coverages are cover three in the NFL. So this is a big cover three team. We talk about Beanie Bishop, who was a guy that I liked and he's a scrappy player. Like when you watched him coming out of the draft this past year, I really like him, and he's a dynamic return guy. There's a lot to like about Beanie Bishop. Beanie Bishop has had a tough time early on here, playing in the slot. And if you get CeeDee Lamb in the slot and able to potentially take advantage of some matchups on Bishop, that might be your best chance to win this game, because this is not a Steelers run defense that's going to give the Cowboys very much, I don't think.
No, and they played against the Ravens that didn't give you very much, and Cleveland who didn't give you very much. So it's kind of par for the course. I did notice something, Bobby, and this goes back to the motion argument.
Mm-hmm.
That if you get the Steelers, they will bump the coverages. And I mean bump them as motion across, they'll bump, like if it's a tight end or receiver or back, yep, they'll bump it. You know, they'll you might be able to get your good on somebody that's struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's going to take you motioning to get there, you know. And we'll see if the Cowboys are willing enough to try and get their better receivers on the Steelers corners and safeties that might be struggling a little bit, or their nickel.
Before we get to a pick for this game, I want to allow you a chance at a little bit of a victory lap. And maybe you feel differently than I do, but I want to give you a chance at a victory lap, because one of my favorite things to watch on tape from the Steelers was, I really do like watching Peyton Wilson play football. That guy, did you watch the Atlanta game? Yeah. Did you watch the Atlanta game? He right by formation, down distance, knew instantly ball was going to Bijan Robinson, to where you see when the ball snapped, he immediately is just, he's lateral and he's going. And man, you want to talk about a guy, you talked about the defensive lineman getting off of blocks. That's a guy who will engage, shed it, make a tackle. He is a lot of fun. It is the injuries, but man, you talked about Patrick Queen being a liability for Pittsburgh right now, it feels like, or a little bit of a weak spot.
Yeah.
That's not Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson is playing some damn good football. He is a real treat to watch.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's been players that I've been fortunate to study at linebacker. And, you know, I remember like the Luke Kuechly is one of the best linebackers I've ever studied in my life.
I think I heard you on G-Bag recently say Luke Kuechly was right up there with some of just the best players you've ever seen.
Yeah, best players. Injury robbed him of the career he probably deserved. And but I know with Peyton Wilson that, to me, if he wasn't hurt, he was a first-round player.
Yeah.
But, you know, the no ACL, multiple shoulder surgeries, you know, how long is he going to last? It so much reminded me, and it was so funny that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was in this draft.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of that Jeremiah, his dad, Jeremiah Trotter's draft, where he's making every single tackle, you know, and you're just kind of like, you're just amazed of how he's playing. But the injuries, you know, and so Wilson's the same way. We were watching him make every single tackle, and both those guys were picked in the third round, and both went on and had 12, 13, 14-year careers, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
it wasn't that hard. It just – if you just tell me watch the tape and find football players – I can usually do that pretty good. If you tell me, watch the tape and find, oh, don't pick the guy that's got multiple surgeries and is a terrible human being off the field. You know?
Yeah.
If you just let me watch a football player, I can generally find that guy. But then I'll grade the other guy, like the terrible human being, I'll grade him way too high, and nobody will pick him. But this kid legitimately, if he's not hurt, I believe he's a first-round player.
Absolutely. Good, really good player. Really, he'll cause Dallas some issues, no doubt about it, on Sunday.
He will.
All right, Brian, let's get a score in here before we go ahead and do the Dean Julia Love the Star mailbag. What is your pick in this game?
You know what? I picked the Giants last week, as you well know.
Yep.
And, you know, I felt like there were some problems. Even without Parsons, even without Tank, I think you might play more discipline this week.
Yeah.
I think you might have a disciplined group playing on defense. I think you got the better quarterback in Dallas. I do. I think this is going to be a tough, slog-it-out game for both teams. Both teams are kind of banged up. I'm going to say that Dallas is not going to let T.J. Watt kill them in this football game, and they're going to find a way to make some plays. Give me Dallas 20, Pittsburgh 16.
I might regret this, because, like I said, when I turned on the film, I expected, based on just what I'd seen on TV and some of the other things I knew about Pittsburgh, I expected this would be a Pittsburgh game, especially in Pittsburgh.
I agree.
And then I turned on the tape and I saw there are places where you can take advantage of them. I don't know if maybe I'm buying too much into how the linebackers played last week against the Giants.
If Pittsburgh doesn't block these linebackers, Dallas's linebackers will have a million tackles.
I think this is a I gotta believe Dallas is looking at this and going, we're gonna find a way to get CeeDee Lamb matched up on Beanie Bishop, and we're gonna take advantage of that. And so I'm gonna go Dallas 21-20. And wow. I didn't anticipate picking the Cowboys in this one when I first put the tape on.
I wouldn't either.
And now,
by the way, if this thing goes Pittsburgh loss, Detroit loss, and San Francisco loss, you and I are going to be talking a much different tune after that San Francisco game.
I think a lot of our shows are going to be talking about, like, what kind of head coach do you want?
Yeah, exactly. You know, draft, what do you need, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be saying, do we want Travis Hunter to play corner or receiver? How do we like that? All right, you're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Brian, it is now time for the Dean Julia Love the Star mailbag, where we take the thoughts, comments, questions, and topic suggestions from our dear sweet listeners. And let's jump into this first question here with Jake. Is there any use to activating Trey Lance in a goal line or 1-2 drives packages to help the run game and red zone offense? Or is the 48th spot too valuable for that? Jake, I don't hate where your head is at. I think if you've got Trey Lance here and you already spent a fourth round pick on him, and he is athletic and there are certain challenges he presents, I don't think there's anything wrong with having him active for some different red zone stuff or other packages. I'm all for a couple Trey Lance snaps a game.
Man, what was the one thing that Trey Lance, that you and I were watching those practices, what were the problems that Trey Lance was having? Wasn't it in the red zone?
Well, I'm not talking about as a quarterback. Like, give me a gadget guy. Like, I want to see him out there taking, like, carries or being in Wildcat or, like, basically just doing some read option stuff. Like, okay. I don't want Trey Lance throwing the ball at all.
Yeah. Key is you got to get down there in order to run some of these packages, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm never against that opportunity. I mean, heck, CJ Goodwin's active every week, so you know, why not have some fun? You know,
I think we will see it. I think we are going to see Trey Lance active at some point.
I do too. Maybe when this thing, if it's 2-5, you might very well see him active. I mean, after all the you know what's going on, but. Hey, by the way, too, I want to give you a shout out as well, and having the Cooks injury. You saw that one. Didn't look right on tape, but you had it right. And my guy I reached out to, technically not injured, but dealing with something else. So
sure,
yeah. But
yeah, tough with Cooks out this week and out. I mean, look. Yeah. Infection, anytime you hear infection post procedure, that's scary.
That's scary. And so,
I mean, that's what almost took out Alex Smith and almost ended his career. Next question here from Chill Clinton. What do you need from your defensive line in order to stay competitive over the next 5 weeks, Brian?
Man, I'll tell you what, I would love to see. Nealand get his first sack, because if he could get one, I think he'll figure it out. And I think they would kind of come in bunches for him. I mean, I'd love to see Mozzie continue to improve. Love to see Mozzie control a center this week that he's probably more powerful than.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see him work on if McCormick is the guard, the rookie guard, throw him aside a couple of times. You know, I'd like to see the growth of them. I'd like to, you know, I don't know if Carson's going to play in this game. Man, it sounds kind of
sketchy. Sounds iffy.
Sounds very sketchy right now. So, but I wanted him, you know, you're going to get Bland back here hopefully soon enough. But I'd just like to see the young guys, especially on the defensive line, be able to, like, grow and then start being productive in a way of Mozzie gets a pressure. Mozzie gets a tackle for loss. Mozzie kind of controls the middle. Mozzie helps Osa get better with his job. And then also, though, the times that that Nealon can play, that he these reps that he gets, he figures out to the corner, now to the quarterback, to the corner, now to the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, once he figures that out, I think that light bulb will go off for him, and you'll start to see more better plays from him as far as sacks and pressures.
Yeah, I think same sort of thing you're saying. Have Mozzie continue what he's shown you over the last five quarters, yeah. which is a not only Much a legitimate not only a legitimate defensive tackle, but like somebody who's making a difference. Right. Like that's a big thing. I need to see. We have not talked about this much. I need to see more from Oso Odighizuwa, who's in a contract year. Like I got to get more consistent. I got to get more consistent pass rush out of him. Yeah. I trust based on what I've seen from him over 4 years now that he'll figure it out and he's gonna get there. But it has been a struggle for sure. I'd like to see more of what I saw in very brief flashes last Thursday from Carl Lawson. If Carl Lawson's gonna have to step up and make some plays. Nealon, you're right. I think that's another one that I want to see some of that. But yeah, big thing for me is Mozzie and Osa.
KJ Henry maybe showing something that he was a fifth round pick. So he's a young guy too. You know, maybe you stole one there. You know, it'd be nice if in fact that worked out that way.
Next question here from Mace. Since we're about to see him play in his first regular season game, what is Flournoy's biggest strength? What makes everyone so excited for him? I've only seen a couple highlights. So, Brian, what were your thoughts on Ryan Flournoy?
Flournoy will go get the football. Flournoy's not scared of the moment. Flournoy probably should have been at a bigger school, didn't get the opportunity, much like Bland was at Fresno. Nothing against Fresno, but probably should have been a Pac-12 player at one time. Flournoy has that kind of ability. Flournoy has an opportunity to be involved in this game plan going forward. If he can find a way to block, which Tolbert hasn't really done all that well. Tolbert, you know, here's a big body guy in Flournoy that, you know, if he can hold up on the edge, if they throw screens and he can block, but if he makes some plays, you know, two, three, four catches a game, that kind of thing, you know, with targets, opportunities, some third down catches, he can find his way under the 48-man roster every week because they've got to find somebody on that edge that if they're going to try and run the ball, they need a physical blocker. They're asking Tolbert to do stuff that he's not capable of doing right now. So big body, blocker, physical, toughness, guy that can catch the ball.
Yeah, and I think when you watch Flournoy when he was coming out, when you take a look at his college tape, you see there's the height, weight, speed combos there. That's all impressive. That's all good stuff. I think some of the other stuff that you see with him is really good hands, makes plays in space. The thing with him is just he's still growing in a lot of ways as a technician. He's still growing in terms of like with some of the releases that he's trying to do at the line of scrimmage. He's not always tight. He's not always concise in steps. We heard a little bit of that with Dak during some of those practices where Dak's like, hey, come on, you're a yard off here. Let's tighten this up. Let's make sure we're good here. And so I think that's part of what's exciting about him, though, is the ability to he's going to catch the football. He's strong. He's stable in that sense. And he's somebody who I think can make some plays in space. And so Flournoy is somebody who they like a lot in terms of football character and that they think is really tough. And he competed to get back in that receiver conversation at the end of training camp.
He came the furthest. Him and Vaughn and those guys, they had to come. They spotted everybody 2 weeks and found a way to make this team.
Well, that does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It'll be a big game coming up against the Steelers this weekend. And then after that, you've got the Lions and then a bye week, chance to reset, do some different things. But for Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Velt. We'll talk to you guys again later.